It is now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your questions. Our subject for this program is Christian baptism. There may be a Bible Answers study group near you. Would you like to attend? If so, write to the Bible Answers, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ed, all church denominations practice water baptism in one form or another. What is the purpose of baptism? Is it possible for one to be saved without being baptized? These programs of good news from the Bible are brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with Bible study groups, and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. And now, Ed, please tell us what the Bible teaches concerning baptism.
Well, thank you, Russell. It is natural, of course, to associate water with baptism, but do you realize that the real baptism of the Christian is not in water at all?
Now, that is different, Ed.
Yes, but true. We learn this from Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Would you like to read these texts, Russell?
Surely. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death.
Now you will notice that the baptism or burial to which Paul refers is not into water, but into Christ and into his death.
What does Paul mean by that?
Well, the word baptism, of course, means to bury. What Paul is telling us is the burial or submerging of our will into doing the will of God is true baptism. One who does this accepts Christ as his head. Thus, as Paul explains, he is baptized into Christ.
Ed, surely you don't mean to tell me that there is nothing said in the Bible about water baptism.
No, I didn't say that. Water baptism is enjoined upon Christians, but it is merely a symbol of the real baptism, which must first take place in the Christian's heart.
Would you mind going over that point again a little more deeply?
Well, it's very simple and beautiful. Burial in water is a figure or symbol of one's burial into Christ and into his death. Paul explained that these who are buried with Christ, who suffer and die with Christ, will also participate in his resurrection to live and reign with Christ. And this raising up out of death is pictured by the candidate being lifted out of the water after being buried.
Well, certainly that is quite understandable. And that, Ed, brings up another question which I asked at the beginning of the program. I asked you remember, if baptism is necessary to salvation, that is, can anyone be saved without being baptized in water? Does the Bible answer that question?
Yes, and very satisfactorily. The answer is yes, countless millions will be saved without being baptized into Christ.
Ed, that's a sweeping statement. Are you sure you can prove that statement by the Bible?
Yes, very sure. Russell, do you remember the wonderful promise which God made to Father Abraham concerning his seed?
You mean, of course, the promise that through Abraham's seed all the families of the earth would be blessed.
Yes, that's the one. Now, how many people do you suppose comprise all the families of the earth?
Oh, countless millions, no doubt. But what does that have to do with being saved without Christian baptism?
Well, in the third chapter of Galatians, Paul speaks of those who are baptized into Christ and adds, if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The point is that Christian baptism is only for those who become associated with Christ as the promised seed of Abraham, his faith seed, that is, and these, together with Christ, will be the channel of blessing to all the remainder of the world of mankind.
That is very encouraging, but I wonder, suppose that the difficulty is in our concept of what is involved in being saved. Many still think all the unconverted are sinners, you know, who, when they die, go to a hell of torment forever.
Actually, though, salvation is not a matter of being rescued from eternal torture, for eternal torture is not taught in the Bible.
Ed, just what would you say is involved in being saved?
Well, salvation in the Bible means to be released from the penalty of death which came upon Adam and through him upon all the family of man. Jesus took the sinner's place in death, and those in this age who accept him and devote themselves fully to doing God's will are, by faith, released from condemnation, and in the resurrection are exalted to live and reign with Christ in his kingdom.
But what about all those who die without accepting Jesus?
These remain asleep in death until Christ's kingdom is established, and then they are awakened, and will be given an opportunity to accept the provision of everlasting life made by them, for them, through Christ. If they do accept and obey the laws of Christ's kingdom, they will be restored to perfection of life. Continuing to obey, they will live forever. Then it can be said that they are saved, saved, that is, from death, and enabled to live forever here on the earth as perfect humans.
And that is what is meant by being saved.
So you see, according to the Bible, the selection of the footstep followers of Jesus during the present age is in preparation for the blessing of the whole family of man during the kingdom age.
Another question, Ed. The Apostle Paul spoke of being baptized for the dead. That text has puzzled many. Let me read it. 1 Corinthians 15:29. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? Now, what does that mean?
I think it's quite apparent. As we have seen, the true baptism of Christians is into Christ and into his death. They are buried with Christ in baptism in order that they might live with him. Those who thus prove worthy of living with Christ will also reign with him. And the purpose of Christ's reign is to restore the whole dead world to life. So you see, Christian baptism is, in this sense, on behalf of the dead, in preparation, that is, for the awakening and blessing of the dead.
Ed, you imply that the service of Christians during the present age, with the suffering and persecution which it has entailed, will accrue to the benefit of mankind when they are awakened from the dead.
That is clearly what Paul is teaching. That is why he argues that if there be no resurrection of the dead, then the entire work of the present age, which has been in preparation for the blessing of the dead, has been in vain, which, of course, also proves that the only hope of life beyond the grave is in the fact that the dead will be restored to life.
You mean that the dead are not more alive than ever, but that they are actually dead with future life depending upon their being resurrected from the dead.
Yes, Russell, that's what the Bible teaches. And the reason the dead will be raised is that Jesus took the sinner's place in death by his own death baptism. Certainly, then, Jesus' baptism was on behalf of the dead world. The baptism of his followers does not accomplish redemption for the dead world, but they contribute to the blessing of mankind when awakened from the sleep of death.
Ed, that is really a wonderful way of explaining baptism. I am sure we understand baptism better now than we did at the beginning of this broadcast.
In the great economy of God in providing salvation for the sin-cursed and dying race, nothing is lost. Nothing is in vain. Even the suffering through which mankind in general has passed throughout the ages will contribute to increased joys throughout the ages to come for all who, when they are given a full opportunity, obey divine law. This, as a matter of fact, is why God permitted evil.
Just one more question. You have emphasized that the followers of Jesus will, in the resurrection, be exalted to heavenly glory with him. But mankind in general, as I understand you to say, will be restored to life as humans. That is correct, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That is one of the points clearly set forth in the little book entitled The Church. And Russell, will you tell our friends more about the book, The Church, and how they may obtain one free?
Yes, Ed, I'll be glad to. Friends, a copy of The Church will be mailed to you free upon your request. It proves from the Bible that the Church of God is not a building, but rather the footstep followers of Jesus drawn to him by divine love. It shows that water baptism is not designed to save people from eternal torture. Indeed, the Bible does not teach eternal torture at all. It proves from the Bible that there is a hope of salvation for the millions who have died outside the church, even for those who have died in unbelief. You will surely want to read The Church, so send for it today. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. I will repeat the address, Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Simply ask for The Church book, and it will be sent to you free by mail and without obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN. To receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.